In our adult service here, we've been going through the book of Deuteronomy, and the title of our series has been Choose Life, a Study in Deuteronomy. This morning, we have a guest speaker, Dr. Jeff Yorg. He is the president of Gateway Seminary. He regularly teaches on leadership, preaching, and church ministry, and he speaks frequently on this subject in conferences as well as in other leadership seminars. He's the author of 6 books, including The Character of Leadership and Is God Calling Me? So will you please welcome our speaker this morning, Dr. Jeff Yorg.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Well, good morning. It's my privilege to be here today, and I'm delighted. In just a moment, I'm going to be preaching on the subject of God's call, as was requested by Pastor Benny. When he contacted me a few weeks ago, he said, I'd like for you to come and continue by saying a few words about calling from the Deuteronomy series that we've been preaching through, and then talk about the subject of calling also from your book. And so I wrote a book a few years ago entitled, Is God Calling Me? Thousands and thousands of these have been sold and put in the hands of people who have been able to discern God's call more effectively because of that. And these are on sale in the foyer today, and I'd be glad to sign one if you'd like to see that after the service. But today, the focus is really on coming to understand what it means to answer the question, is God calling me? So I'm going to move to that in just a moment. Now, let me just say thank you again for inviting me. Thank you for your longtime support of Gateway Seminary. If you have any interest in knowing more about our school, how to connect with us, how to pray for us, how to be a student with us, you can see me or the person, Joe Kim, who's working in the foyer at our table today. We'd be glad to help you. But now the question, is God calling me? And you may say, well, I've already decided that, and he isn't calling me, and I already know the answer, so I can check out, turn on my phone, and do something else for the next 30 minutes. I would encourage you to stay dialed in because the answer that I give may surprise you as we move through the message together. Let's start, though, by looking at trying to answer this question by answering 3 other questions today. The first is, what is the definition of a call to ministry today? And the second is, what types of call does God extend today? And the third question is, well, how does God call people today? Well, these are the questions I'm going to try to answer in this message. And we start answering those questions by looking, first of all, at this Deuteronomy passage that's already been read. Now, the Deuteronomy passage has some interesting principles in it, which provide a foundation from the Old Testament, which then move us toward the New Testament understanding. The first thing this passage teaches is that God calls people to lead. And you can see this in verses 1 and 5. The Levitical priests, the whole tribe of Levi, were set apart, meaning they had no inheritance. They were unique in the responsibility they had for leadership. And you drop down to verse 5, you see, for the Lord your God has chosen him, meaning Levi, and his sons to be his particular leaders. And so, in the Old Testament, in the pattern of the Levitical tribe, God calls people to lead. And then second, God provides for people he calls. And you can see that again in the text as well. It says in verse 2 that these Levites had no inheritance among the people and that they were to depend totally upon God for their provision and supply. Which leads us to the third principle from the Deuteronomy passage, and that is the community was expected to support those who are called. You can see that in 2 places in the text. First, in verse 3, it says the priests were to share in the sacrifices, meaning they were to receive part of what was brought in the worship of God. And they were to receive things like grain and wine and oil. Well, we don't do it quite that way today. Well, we tend to support our ministry leaders in different ways by providing provision and resource and education, not so much oil and chickens and animals, but you get the idea. And then finally, this passage says that God sends leaders wherever he chooses. And again, you see that in the text where it says the Levites were to be portable people who would be sent wherever God assigned them to do the work that he had given them. So we start with an Old Testament foundation from Deuteronomy. God calls people to lead. He provides for the people he calls. He uses his community to provide for them as well. And then he assigns them tasks of leadership wherever he chooses. Now, resting on that Old Testament foundation, Let's move to talking about what it means to answer these questions and to answer the overarching question of, is God calling me? So the first question is this: what's the definition of a call to ministry today? Now, in just a moment, I'm going to get to the definition, but before I do, I want to talk about why it's so hard to define this word. In the English language, we use the word call in a lot of different ways. Let me suggest some. First, we say, well, you get a call on the phone. But if you're a high school student and you're on the junior varsity, you can get called up to the varsity. Or if you're in the military and you're in the reserves, you can get called up to active duty. Different uses of the word call. Then if you're in the banking industry, you call in a bad loan, meaning you cancel the loan and demand its payment. If you're moderating a parliamentary meeting, you can call for the question, meaning you demand a vote. If you're playing cards, you can call for the hand to be concluded and ask for everybody to show their cards. Or, and most of you wouldn't be at one of these, but if you're ever in Texas and go to a square dance, someone will call the steps and tell you what to do, and that's called calling the dance. If you're the boss, you can call the shots, meaning you make the decisions. If you're ready to finish work, you can call it quits, meaning you're ready for the day to end. If you're a baseball umpire, and you might think, why would I want to do that? Well, because it's an illustration. If you're a baseball umpire, you can use the word call three different ways. You can call for the managers to come out to have a meeting with you to start the game. You can call balls and strikes or fairs and fouls, meaning that you make decisions throughout the game to keep it going. And if it starts raining, you can call the game, meaning you cancel it and send everyone home. Three different uses of the word call just on the same sporting field. What I'm telling you is that in American culture, we use the word call as almost a transparent word that can take on almost any meaning depending on its context. Then we import that into church and bring all the confusion with us. And we call all kinds of spiritual experience call experiences, but they're not. God prompts, God leads, God directs, God guides. But those things are separated in Scripture from this unique experience entitled call. For example, God prompted your pastor to invite me to speak to you today, and God directed me to say yes and to come and be here to deliver this message. But this is not a call experience today. God did not call me to be your speaker today. He did not call your pastor to direct me or to invite me to speak. No, those were promptings and directings, and while they're legitimate spiritual experiences, they don't rise to this unique experience entitled call. So let's see if we can clear up some of the confusion by learning a definition this morning. Here's my definition of call to ministry. This definition rests on 20 years of study of the ways the word call is used in the New Testament and the examples of calling that are found within the New Testament. And so, here's the definition. A call to ministry is a profound impression from God that establishes parameters for your life and can only be altered by a subsequent superseding impression from God. Let's hear it again. A profound impression from God that establishes parameters for your life and can only be altered by a subsequent superseding impression from God. Now, if you were in my seminary classroom, I'd have you say that out loud with me about 5 or 6 times so we could all learn it together. And then I'd make you learn it word for word and write it on an exam so I could know it had settled in your mind for future use. But I'm not going to do either of that to you today, all right? You don't have to pass the test to go to lunch this afternoon. This is the definition, however, of what it means to be called. And I want to talk about three different aspects or parts of this definition today. First, a profound impression. As I've already said, a calling is more than a prompting or a leading or a guiding or a directing. A calling is a profound impression. It is something that goes down deeply into you and makes a profound difference in your life. And it's an impression, meaning that it's an inner experience. So that when someone asks you, how do you know that you're called? Really, at the bottom line, you're going to give them this answer: I know it in my heart. You're going to know it because it is an inner experience that you've had with God in which He has brought to you a profound determination that you are being called and must respond to His call. A second part of the definition is establishes parameters. Now look this way. Parameters are like barriers, or like parentheses, or like guides that go around your life. So when you're called, God places parameters or barriers around your life so that from that moment forward, the only things you can allow inside the parameters are things which are compatible with your call. And other things, even though they may be desirable even for other believers, must be excluded from your life because they no longer are compatible with your call. Let me give you two examples. When I was in college, I had a relationship with a beautiful young Christian woman. We prayed together. We talked often about scripture together. We shared worship experiences together. It was a beautiful and godly and good relationship. But there was one problem. By that time in my life, I knew that God had called me to ministry leadership, and so the parameters of God's call were around my life. And this young woman, even though she was a Christian, we prayed together, we worshiped together, we enjoyed each other's company. Even though all things about our relationship were right and good, because she did not share my call to ministry leadership and had no interest in being involved in a life of ministry leadership, we had to end that relationship, and it ended painfully because of that choice. Because I was called, certain relationships could no longer be part of the life God had asked me to live. Another example, while I was in college, I was working two jobs to pay my tuition, and I had a job at a restaurant. One day the owner called me into his office and said, "I want to talk with you about your future." He said, "I know you're working hard to pay your way through college, and I would like to make a deal with you." I said, "All right." He said, "I will offer to pay for the rest of your college education, 3 more years. If after graduation, you will commit to working for me as a manager for 5 years. After that, you're free to go." I thought about his offer for a moment and then said, "Thank you so much for your generosity, but my answer is no. God has called me to ministry leadership. As soon as I finish schooling, I know that He wants me to be a pastor or a missionary or some other Christian leader. I know that's what He's called me to do, and so nothing can take the place of that." So I turned down His generous offer. Now you might be thinking, "Oh, but I'll bet God provided by someone else giving you the money to go to school." And the answer to that is no, they did not. I continued to work two and sometimes three jobs for the rest of my years in college to make enough money to pay my tuition so that I could graduate and move into ministry leadership. Are you following me this morning? When God calls, He puts up parameters around your life. He establishes some guidelines or some barriers, if you will. And from the moment that you're sure of God's call, from that moment forward, nothing can be allowed inside your life or inside those parameters that isn't compatible with God's call. No relationship, no occupation. You have to respond entirely and completely to what God wants in your life from that day forward. Well, a third aspect of the definition is this one. It can only be altered by a superseding or a subsequent call experience. Meaning that when God calls, you stay called, and you can't leave and do something else just because you think you may want to. God's calls are serious, and He expects us to stay with them over a long period of time. Now, looking at this at the next question then will help us to understand how to apply this. What types of call does God extend today? Well, there's three of them. First, God gives us what is called a universal call to Christian service and growth. And then second, God gives us a general call to ministry leadership. And third, God gives a specific call to a ministry assignment. Now, these are the three ways that the word call is used in the New Testament. And there are examples of these throughout the New Testament. I'll give you just a few this morning to help you understand what I mean. But notice these three. There's first of all a universal call to Christian service and growth. Second, a general call to ministry leadership, and third, a specific call to a ministry assignment. Now, you can see these three things graphically by looking at this graphic on the board, on the screen. First of all, your life is surrounded by these three possibilities of call. There's the first one, which is a universal call. You see that the closest to life. And then there's a secondary call, a general call to ministry leadership. And then the third one is the specific call, which is illustrated by those yellow brackets. So, universal, general, specific. And that's what it looks like in a graphic form. Now let me talk about all three of these in a little more detail. First of all, what is a universal call to Christian service? Well, there are two, our Christian service and growth. There are actually two places in the Bible that I could use to illustrate this. The first is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. In that passage, the Bible says, you are to walk worthy of the calling you have received. Walk worthy of the calling you have received. And in the context of Ephesians 1 through 3, that phrase means that you are to live a life of Christian service. Walk worthy means Christian service. Then the next phrase is in 1 Peter 1:15, where the Bible says you are called to be holy. Now, what's the emphasis here? The emphasis here is not on Christian service, it's on Christian growth, our character development. And so that's why I say that the universal call to Christian service and growth is one way that the word call is used in the New Testament. Now, this may surprise you, but this call came with your conversion. This call, universal call to Christian service and growth, is applicable to all Christians. Sometimes people ask me this question. Hey, is every Christian called? Is every Christian called to ministry, to service, to growth? The answer to that may surprise you. The answer is yes, every Christian is called, but only in this universal sense that every one of us is called to Christian service and Christian growth. Every one of us has these calls. Ephesians chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 1, these verses are addressed to all believers, not a special subset, which we'll talk about in just a moment. They're addressed to all believers. And this call, because it's for all believers, came with your conversion experience. It happened in the moment you were saved. Now you may say, I did not know that happened to me. I was at Vacation Bible School, or I was in Sunday school, or I was at a youth camp, or I was in my college dorm room, or I was here in a worship service. In that moment that I became a Christian, in the moment of my conversion, you're telling me that in that moment, I received a universal call to Christian service and growth. That's exactly what I'm telling you. Now you may be asking, hang on a second. How is it possible to get that much responsibility and not know it's happening? Is it possible to make a commitment and to receive a lot more responsibility in the moment than you even realize was happening? Absolutely, we do it all the time. Let me give you two examples. The first one is marriage. Now, I've been married for 37 years. When my wife and I said, I do, we had really no idea what we were doing. We made the commitment without understanding all the responsibility. Particularly for me, I did not realize that my wife was going to keep growing and changing and developing over these 37 years. And she's heard me say this, please don't call her. I've actually been married to three different women. I married a shy, quiet, retiring woman who morphed into super mom with three children and a busy life. And now she's morphed into ministry dynamo Ann, who's speaking and writing and doing things I never dreamed she would do 35 years ago. But my responsibility is to love my wife and live with her in an understanding way and be her marriage partner over the years. I did not know the full responsibility I was getting when I got married. Now, I, on the other hand, have been the same charming, wonderful man always. So you can talk to her about that. But here's a second illustration, and this is especially for those of you that are students. At the seminary, we have something called syllabus shock. Now, what is that? Well, people sign up for seminary and they're excited. And then they go to their first class and the professor gives them the syllabus. Now, they've made the commitment to get the degree and then they find out the work that's involved. And every one of you that's ever been in any kind of college knows what I'm talking about, right? You find out the responsibility that came with the commitment. When you became a Christian, In the moment of your conversion, in the moment of that commitment, you receive the responsibility to serve Jesus Christ and grow in relationship with Him. You received a universal call to Christian service and growth. And now listen, this can be expressed through any honorable vocation. So it is possible to serve and grow in Jesus Christ as an architect, a cook, a teacher, a coach, a taxi driver, a physician. It's possible to serve and grow in Jesus Christ and express that through any honorable vocation. And in fact, this is the call experience that most believers live out over their lifetime. But there's a second kind of way, a second way that call is used in the scripture. And that is a general call to ministry leadership. A general call to ministry leadership. Now, this is what we often mean when we use the phrase God's call. But honestly, this one gets mixed up because we use bad descriptions or confusing titles for this experience. For example, we say, well, I'm called to full-time Christian service. No, you're not. Every Christian's called to full-time Christian service and growth, which I've already established from Scripture this morning. So this is a confusing title. Another one is, well, I'm called to vocational Christian service. Well, that works well in a large church like this one or in a Western culture where we live. But the reality is most Christian leaders in the world who respond to God's call to ministry leadership do not get a salary. They do not get insurance. They do not get benefits. They do not have an expense account. They are not vocationally employed in that sense. Most of them serve without that kind of compensation. So it must not be defined by vocation. Another one, I'm called to serve the Lord full time. I've already addressed that. Or simply to preach. Well, I like preaching, but it's not the definition of a call. So if these are confusing titles, what is the key issue? Well, the key issue is this. All believers are called to serve and grow, but few are called to lead. The issue is not full time or vocation or preaching. The issue is God is calling some of you to ministry leadership, and the defining quality is leadership and the responsibility you take to help the rest of us move forward as a Christian movement. While all believers are called to serve and grow, a few are called to lead. The essential ingredient is leadership, not a title, not an office, not a salary, it's leadership. Now you may say, well, is there a biblical definite example of this? And the answer is many of them. I'll just give one today. A believer in the New Testament who models this for us is a man named Peter. Peter became a Christian in the book of John, chapter 1, when his brother Andrew led him to faith in Jesus Christ. You can read that story in John chapter 1, verses 40 to 42. Andrew introduced his brother Peter to Jesus Christ. And that's Peter's conversion. That's the moment when Peter became a Christian. It's when he was, if you say it this way, saved. But here's what's interesting. After that experience, Peter kept on fishing. Peter remained a commercial fisherman for months after his conversion. The Bible actually says that Peter operated a business with multiple boats and multiple business partners. Peter was not a solo fisherman with a fishing line on a creek bank. No, Peter was a commercial fisherman who ran a business operation and provided meat and protein resource of fish to the villages in that region. And in Luke chapter 5, many months after John chapter 1, Peter has a second experience with Jesus. You may remember the story. Jesus took Peter out found Peter after he'd fished all night and caught nothing. Jesus said, "Let's cast out. I want to go fishing with you." And they brought in this huge catch of fish, and Peter fell down and said, "Lord, get away from me. I don't deserve to be in your presence. This is so amazing." And Jesus said, "I know. And Peter, I've done this story. I've arranged this story for you for this purpose, to show you that from now on, you're not going to fish for fish. You're going to fish for people. You're going to follow and serve me from now on." And the Bible says in Luke chapter 5, verse 11, that the fishermen came on shore, left everything, and followed Jesus. So this is Peter's call to ministry leadership. This is Peter saying, I will no longer express my universal call to Christian service and growth by being a fisherman, an honorable vocation. No, now I will step out of that and I will devote the rest of my life to being a ministry leader. I will serve Jesus in a leadership capacity. Now, that leads us then to the third expression of how the word of call is used, and that is a specific call to a ministry assignment. So God, ministry leadership is more than a job or a career. When God calls you in a general way to ministry leadership, He will ultimately place you in a ministry role, and that may change a few times over your lifetime. Now, to help you understand what I'm teaching this morning, I want to show you this child's toy. It's called a telescope. And I want you to watch what happens with this example to help you understand God's call. When you become a Christian, you receive this first part of God's call, and that is a universal call to Christian service and growth. Every one of you that's a Christian has this kind of calling. You're responsible to serve and grow in Jesus Christ. But some of you, not most of you, but a few of you, will receive a second call experience. While you're serving and growing, you receive this second experience, and that is a general call to ministry leadership. Now, God is saying to you, I want more from you than a universal life of service and growth. I want more from you. I want you to step into leadership. I want you to become one who leads the rest of the Christians in the process of serving and growing. And if God calls you to ministry leadership, eventually He will give you the third experience, and that is He will place you in a ministry leadership role. As a pastor, a missionary, an associate pastor, a teacher, a director, something, God will place you in a leadership role as a specific assignment. Now let's watch this again. Let's talk about Peter. In John chapter 1, he became a Christian and received his universal call to Christian service and growth, and he expressed that by continuing to be a commercial fisherman for many more months. But then there came a day when God said, no, Peter, I want you to become a leader in my kingdom. I want you to stop fishing and start devoting your entire life to ministry leadership. And when he did that, he received an assignment. What was his first assignment? To be the leader of the 12. He was always the leader of Jesus' 12 disciples all the way up to the beginning of the book of Acts. And then when the church launched, Peter got a new assignment. He became an apostle, a significant leader for the church at large, not just in Jerusalem, but in a broader capacity, and served that way throughout his lifetime. That's an example from the Bible. Now let me give you my testimony. Here's my life. When I was 13 years old, I became a Christian. I placed my faith in Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I received this first part of the call experience. I received a universal call to Christian service and growth, and I started serving the Lord and growing as a teenager. But then when I was 18 years old, I had a second experience in which God called me to ministry leadership. He made it very clear to me that my responsibility the rest of my life was to serve as a ministry leader, to be available to Him, whatever He assigned me to do, and to lead in His, to be a leader among His people. And then God gave me my first ministry assignment. He called me to be a pastor. And then a few years later, God gave me a second assignment. God called me to plant a new church in Portland, Oregon. After doing that for a number of years, God gave me a third assignment. He assigned me the task of being the executive director of the Northwest Baptist Convention and leading a network of churches across the Pacific Northwest. And then 14 years ago, God gave me the last call experience that I've had so far, and that is God called me by assigning me to be the president of Gateway Seminary. Now, I've been a Christian since I was 13. That's almost 50 years, almost 50 years. And in those 50 years, I've had these experiences: my universal call to Christian service and growth, my general call to ministry leadership, and four different assignments that God has given me over a lifetime. Now, this morning, I could give you this little telescope and you could tell your story. If you're a Christian, you've got this first call. You've been called to serve and to grow. That's for every believer. But some of you in this room have had this secondary experience of being called to ministry leadership. And listen, some of you are thinking about this very seriously. You're considering the possibility that God might be calling you to ministry leadership, asking you to give up everything else in life but this and devote the rest of your life to being a ministry leader. And if God does call you that way, eventually he'll start giving you the assignments that he has lined out for you in your lifetime. So the question then becomes, how do you know this experience is happening? Well, let's finish up this morning by answering that question. The third question is, how does God call people today? And there's really three ways that God does this. The first is what I call a sudden experience. The next is a reasoned decision. And the third is the prompting of others. Now, I could spend a lot of time this morning walking you through many biblical examples, but I'll be very brief. First, God calls through a sudden experience, a moment in time when God simply intersects your life and you know he's calling you. It happened in the Old Testament when Moses saw a burning bush. Remember that story? It happened in the New Testament when Paul saw a blinding light. Remember that story? But you say, is it always so dramatic? Not really. In the New Testament, there's another example that's not all that dramatic. Jesus walked up to Matthew, a tax collector, sitting at his tax collection booth and said, Matthew, get up and follow me. And the Bible records a three-word answer. It says, he followed him. That's all it says. No blinding light, no burning bush, just a moment of intersection where Jesus says, follow me. And the person knew they were to do that for the rest of their life. So sometimes God calls through a sudden experience, but other times it's through what I call a reasoned decision. These happened in the Bible as well. For example, in the New Testament, Paul found himself trying to sort out where he was supposed to go as a missionary. And this story's in the book of Acts, chapter 16. And the Bible says that Paul spent weeks trying to figure out where God wanted him to go, where God was calling him to be a missionary, and finally concluded that God wanted him in Macedonia. And then another time in the book of Acts, Paul was wondering how to get to Rome. He felt God had called him to go to Rome and preach the gospel there. Paul had to strategize a way to use the Roman legal system to get himself sent to Rome at Rome expense under Roman guard. But Paul did that by using the Roman legal system, by reasoning out, how can I get there? And then appealing to Caesar and being sent that by that means. Well, reasoned decision. Some of you who are here today, you're a little more analytic. You're a little more thoughtful. You're not sure you trust a sudden experience. You want to think it through for a while. That's all right. God uses reasoned processes to get us to understand his call and to help us come to the place we respond to that. And then third, sometimes the prompting of others. Think about in the Old Testament, when David was selected to be king, he was out minding the sheep when a man named Samuel came and said, you are selected to be king, the prompting of others. And then in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 13, there's a great story of the first missionaries being sent out. And the call, the Bible says, came not to the missionaries, but to the church who told the missionaries they were supposed to go on their first trip. So sometimes God calls by prompting others. Now, what does that look like for you? Well, it looks this way. Someone will say to you, have you ever considered the possibility of being a ministry leader? Have you ever considered being a pastor or being a missionary, being a professor, being a teacher? Have you ever considered the possibility that God might want to use your leadership gifts in his kingdom's work to lead his people? As people speak to you about this, don't dismiss it too quickly. Perhaps God is calling you and is speaking to you through someone who knows you well, cares about you, and wants the best for you, and they're trying to get you to think about the possibility of God's call. So how does God call? By sudden experiences? Yes, sometimes. But sometimes by reasoned processes where we pray and think and talk about something over a few weeks or months before we conclude what God is calling us to do. And sometimes God does it by sending a prompter, a person to speak to us and say, this is what God may have for you. Well, this morning, is God calling me? That's the question. And the answer for all of you who are Christians in this room is yes. God is calling you. He has given you a universal call to Christian service and growth. Every one of you in this room is responsible to grow in Jesus Christ and serve Jesus Christ. And you can express that through any honorable vocation. But now listen. There's a few of you that God is calling to ministry leadership. You may say, well, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too smart, I'm too slow. I'm too rich, I'm too poor. It doesn't matter. You know that God is calling you to ministry leadership, to devote the rest of your life to being a leader in His kingdom in some capacity. God is calling you to do more than just universally respond to Him in service and growth. He's calling you to leadership. And if He's calling you to that, eventually He'll give you an assignment in His kingdom. But for now, your responsibility is not to stress about the assignment. It's to say yes to God's call to ministry leadership and to begin preparing yourself in every way possible for when the assignment finally comes. Let's bow our heads together this morning and make a response to God in this message. With our heads bowed, I'd like to start this way. I'd like for every Christian to pray a prayer something like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for calling me to serve you and to grow in my relationship with you. Every Christian can pray this kind of prayer. Father, thank you for calling me to serve you and to grow in my relationship with you. But now I want to talk with a few of you who are considering this second kind of call. Is God calling you to ministry leadership? If you are here this morning and you are willing to consider that possibility, if you're here this morning and you would say, God may be calling me to ministry leadership, I'm willing to investigate that, pray about it, think about it, talk with others about it. Or if you're here today and you would say, no, I'm sure God is calling me to ministry leadership, I already know that. If you're in that category, would you do something bold right now? Would you just very quietly stand? Heads are bowed. No one's looking at you. Just stand. I want you to stand because I want to pray for you this morning. If you're here and you're thinking, I may be called to ministry leadership and I'm really seriously considering this, or you're here and you'll say, I know I'm called. I'm ready. Thank you. You're standing up in different places in the room. Just stand quietly. Heavenly Father, these who are standing are willing to follow you into ministry leadership. They're willing to step forward and become pastors, missionaries, professors, teachers, counselors, guides. They're willing to set the pace. So I pray today in the name of Jesus that you would make your calling in their lives so clear that they would have no doubt, that they would be willing to move forward boldly and courageously and do what you're asking them to do. And I pray, Father, that you would give us the grace and the courage to support them and help them find and fulfill your will. All right, you may be seated. And now I have one more group that I'd like to ask to pray. There are some of you here who are parents. You have high school students or college students. And you would say, well, I don't want my child to be a ministry leader. I want my child to be a physician or an accountant or an engineer or a teacher. I want my child to be successful. May I challenge you today that the most successful life your child can lead is a life of obedience to what God wants them to do? I have 3 children, and one of them has responded to a life of ministry leadership. I know the pain of that and the separation that sometimes comes and the service that requires her to serve a far distance from me with her husband and ministry leadership in places where God has called them. But I would rather have my daughter fully devoted to a life of service that God has called her to than be in disobedience and follow what I want her to do. So if you're a parent here today, would you join me, because I'm a parent too, and would you pray a prayer like this? God, if it's your will, call my children to ministry leadership. I release them to you. And I ask you to use my children to be obedient to you, whatever that means, that they might find the most fulfilling life possible. Now, Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of preaching about call today. And thank you for working in our lives to help us understand how this applies to all of us. And then more specifically, thank you for helping the few who've stood to understand that you are calling them to ministry leadership and to help them understand what that fully means. God, give every one of us in this church the courage and the grace we need to support the called and to see everyone be obedient to you. And we pray for this in Jesus' name.